around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. Pastor David Langford here today. We'd like to welcome each of you to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. Today is Monday, September the 14th, 2020. We welcome you today, wherever that you might be. And as always, it is our prayer, our desire, that you will learn something from the Holy Writ. You will grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. I'm going to start teaching today, and we're postponing the Coming Darkness series, but I think it's very timely that we teach on the subject that I love to teach probably as much or more than any subject, and that's the coming fall events. The coming fall events. It was in September of 1998, as I was teaching the book of Revelation while I was still pastoring in Charlotte, North Carolina, that I stumbled upon this august revelation and understanding. I'll never forget studying, preparing to teach on a Wednesday night. I was at home. I was going through the book of Revelation, and it was in September, and I was studying from the 18th chapter of the book of Revelation, and in verse 14 it says this, "And the fruits that thy soul hath lusted after are departed from thee." I remember reading that verse, and I sensed the Holy Spirit checked my heart and encouraged me to study the word fruits. Now, I thought I knew what the word fruits meant. Fruit of the Spirit. Jesus is the vine, we're the branches. We're attached to Him. We bring forth fruit. John the Baptist said, bring forth fruit, meet for repentance. So I just assumed, I understood the word fruits. But the truth is, I did not understand the word fruits here in Revelation 18, verse 14. The word fruits here is used in this particular passage of Scripture, Revelation 18, 14. It's used here like no other place in the Word of God. It has a very distinct and separate and powerful meaning than anywhere else you see it used in the New Testament or the Old Testament for that fact. And that was the great revelation, and we're going to get into this. We're going to teach this so that you will have a greater understanding. And I taught this in August of 2001. Now, as far as I know, I've alluded to it, I've mentioned it, but I've never taught it in the last 19 years. It was August of 2001. And after 9/11, and people had heard this teaching, our ministry doubled in size after 9/11. But by February of 2002, it had fallen all the way back to where it was previously. When people saw those airliners, those airplanes flying into the buildings, and they heard this teaching, they're like, wow. So the fall of the year is when bad things happen. The Great Depression, the stock market collapsed in October of 1929. And so when the Holy Spirit was trying to lead me, guide me, and direct me I knew he had something to share with me and to reveal to me that I had never seen or understood previously. So I want to go today to Revelation chapter 18, verse 14, and I want to read through verse 20. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off, for the fear of her, torment, weeping, and wailing. You see, the world has been made rich off of America. And as the world watches the torment and the struggle of America, they're going to, the Bible says, weep. And they're going to wail. Why? They realize the prosperity is no more. Verse 16. Revelation 18, verse 16. And saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour, so great riches is come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off. We talk about the trade deficit. America has a trade deficit with all the nations of the earth. And how do we trade? We trade by sea. You see these containers, these container ships. It's not worth China having these containers shipped back to their mainland because they come back empty. So what do? They leave them here and they sell them. And you can buy you a container. I know a place right now that has hundreds, if not thousands, of containers sitting on their lot. You can buy them from anywhere between $500 and $2,500, and they will bring them and deliver them to your place you want them. I know people who have bought them and made storage buildings out of them. You can even make them. I've seen on DIY, people put them together, weld them together, and they build houses. They're solid. Steel structures, wooden floors. So there's a lot that can be done. They cut holes in the side. They put windows in them. So my point is, God has already told us, as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour she is made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you of her. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. I will repay. As I said, I taught this in August of 2001. And then in just 1 month afterwards, we witnessed 9/11. God showed me this, revealed this to me 22 years ago. It was in the month of September, 1998. I make notes. This is going to sound like an oxymoron. I make notes on my notes, and I set dates on my notes. So I know when I prepare a sermon. I know when I prepare a teaching. I know when I taught it. I know what Sunday or what Wednesday or what radio program I taught it. I keep records of all of those things in my ministry. So I know exactly when, where, what I received of the Lord. As we all await the imminent return of Christ, the spirit of revelation and of knowledge will increase exponentially. As time accelerates, God is going to open up many people's hearts and minds to things they've never seen before. It happens to me all the time. But as I continue to bathe my mind in the Word of God, I'm able to see with the wisdom, the years of wisdom, the empirical knowledge, having seen, witnessed things, I'm able to see and grasp and glean the deeper things of God. And so do you. Luke 24:45. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. So God has the ability through the Holy Spirit to open our understanding. 1 Corinthians 2:9, it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of men the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So in September of 1998, the Spirit of God constrained me to search out the word there, fruits, which I did. Now Paul said, the natural man, he cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. It takes the Holy Ghost having a place of residence in your heart to help you to discern the deeper things of God. I got an email some time ago from a gentleman, said he had never thought about something I said weeks ago when I said God did not know what it meant to be tempted. So he had to make Christ, put him in a body, a human body, and so Christ through his /God humanity, he was able to understand our temptations, our trials, our greed, our lust, our covetousness. Why? James 1:13 says, let no man say when he is tempted of God, I am tempted with evil. For God cannot be tempted with evil. Did you get that? God cannot be tempted with evil. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Don't say God has tempted you. Why? James tells us why. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. And that's why I said Elohim, God, allowed Christ to take on a human form. So as God, he could fully understand temptation. See, that's why Hebrews 4:15 says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So Christ understood the lust of the flesh. That was the first temptation. Satan said, the first temptation, that's really the second one. The first one was, if thou be the Son of God. But he said, turn the stone into bread. See, that was a temptation of lust, to satisfy his flesh. And of course, Christ would not do that. But for Christ to fully understand our fragilities, our weaknesses, and our humanity, he had to take on the nature of a man. Hebrews 2:9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. So God cannot be tempted with evil. He had to provide another means, a mode, a method to fully understand man's weaknesses. And Jesus did that without sin. We can't say that. We cannot declare that. Only God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, could make that declaration and live a natural life without sin. That was why he was conceived of the Holy Ghost. When Jesus told the disciples, "Satan hath nothing in me," he was telling them, there's nothing in me that Satan can appeal to destroy me and my mission. Now, every one of us has within our Adamic carnal nature something that Satan can appeal to. A handsome man, beautiful woman, money, prestige, power, cars, jobs, whatever the case might be. Jesus said, Satan hath nothing in me. There's nothing in me that he can appeal to break me and make me sin. I don't have that in me. And why did he not have that in him? Because he was conceived by the Holy Ghost. This was not a human conception. It was through the Holy Spirit of God. Now, the Scriptures, as I declare, gives us a timeline. Lorraine and I were doing a Talking It Out some weeks ago, and I mentioned how people are talking about the vaccines. That's the mark of the beast, and all of this rhetorical jargon, and it's nothing but garbage. It's just pure garbage, and I won't go there. Because I don't want you to be deceived. I don't want you manipulated. I don't want to coerce you into anything that's not scriptural. But once we know who the Antichrist is, once that revelation is manifest, Matthew 24:15, we're going to be able to number the days. And I shared that in the video, Daniel 12:11. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Has anybody seen the daily sacrifice in Israel yet? If anybody has seen the daily sacrifice in Israel, email me, send me the video, send me the photos, let me see it. Well, see, you can't send that to me because it's not happened yet. There's not even a temple over there yet. You see, this is why we are so into so much error in this hour, because every Tom, Dick, and Harry is trying to pontificate and tell you something. But you see, you got to remember, you have to connect all the dots to all the Scriptures. If you don't know the Scriptures, you cannot correctly connect all the dots. I hear everything you can imagine, I hear about who the restrainer is. Some say it's the Holy Ghost. Some say it's the church. It's neither one of those. It's Michael the archangel. You see, Gabriel told Daniel that in Daniel 10:21. He said, I will show thee that which is noted in the Scripture, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael your prince. Michael's the restrainer. That's the he there. In 2 Thessalonians 2:7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked be revealed. Once Michael leaves the earth, where's he going? He's going up into the heavenlies. How do we know that? Revelation 12:7, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. So Michael ascends, he starts war in heaven, and he works his way back down to the earth. And the first thing that happens there, Satan is cast down to the earth. That's what starts the Great Tribulation. The main trigger point is Matthew 24:15. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Believe you me, I have pored over the Scriptures so much, and God has allowed me to see things in the Scriptures that a lot of people have not seen. They cannot see them because they don't pay the price. God has secret things. Psalms 25:14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. God has secret things. secret things. How do you get to know the secret things? You have to spend time in the secret place. You have to dwell there. I've said it before, I'll say it again. For 2 years, from 1994, June of 1994, the last week in June, to about June of 1996, I walked under an anointing and a mantle that was so supernatural. Everything I saw was a revelation. Everything I saw was a greater understanding. And you've heard me share the testimony. I got tired of it. I just got tired of it. And I remember coming into the house one day, and the Holy Spirit said, "Sit down, I want to show you something. I want to show you something. Get your Bible." And I'm like, "I've been going through this for years now. I am tired. I don't want to see it." And so I kind of arrogantly opened up my Bible to Daniel chapter 12. Close up the words. Seal up the book until the time of the end. And I said, "Okay, Lord, you want to show me something? Where is that sealed book? Where is it? It's a book. It is sealed. Where is it?" And the Holy Spirit said, "That's the book in Revelation chapter 5 that no man can open. But then stood the Lion of the tribe of Judah, which was Christ. He opened the books." And I burst out in tears. I said, "Forgive me. I am sorry. I'm just tired." I mean, I was like Mark 1:12. "And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness." I was being driven by the Holy Ghost into a world of understanding that I had never even come close to. Never even come close to. I knew a lot of these verses by memory, but the Holy Ghost unveiled the deeper things, the deeper, the greater things in the Word that I was unable to see until the Spirit revealed them unto me. That's why I had memorized already Matthew 24:45. "Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures." They had the Old Testament, but they couldn't understand some of the Scriptures, could they? They couldn't understand a virgin's going to conceive and bear a son. They're going to call his name Emmanuel, and Emmanuel means, being interpreted, God with us. God was with them through Jesus. Well, see, they didn't understand that. They read it. Can you imagine Isaiah? He penned it. A virgin is going to conceive. This is impossible, but nevertheless, he's writing it down. There were so many things written in the Old Testament that bled over into the New Testament dispensation, and men struggled and grappled profusely trying to connect the dots. God had prophesied in the Old Testament Israel would be blind. And you witnessed that under the ministry of Christ. You witnessed the depth and the breadth of the blindness. You saw it. You saw the blindness. But we get in the New Testament, and God gives Paul the Apostle an unction, a revelation in Romans 11:25. "Blindness in part has happened unto Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." Oh, now we have another revelation. So they're going to be blind in part until. See, the duration of the blindness will one day end. Now, they couldn't see that in the old, but now we can see it in the new. Once God is through with the Gentiles, the blindness in part to Israel is removed. God's going to remove that. Now, in the Old Testament, no one understood the duration or the length of that blindness. But Paul says, until they will be blind in part, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. That's why I have a problem with anti-Semitism and those who are always rebuking, castigating, and maligning Israel. Because you, my friend, and neither do I, know who are the seed of Isaac/Abraham and who are the seed/Ishmael. You don't know. I don't know. It's like the wheat and the tares. God said, let them grow together, and in the harvest, the angels will separate them. And so your bigoted, self-righteous, anti-Semitic disposition, you're trying to divide the wheat and the tares now, and you are not qualified, and neither am I. You're not that smart, sir. You think you are. You're self-righteous, you're bigoted, you're arrogant. You need to humble yourself and realize you don't know what you think you know. You just have hatred in your heart. And if you have hatred in your heart, the Bible says you are a murderer. That's right, you are a murderer. 1 John 3:15. He that hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. You think Miss Omar, that was a revelation years ago, 2007, the last name Hurricane in the fall of the year, Omar. And I studied out the word Omar. You know what it meant? Omar, Islam is flourishing. And I put it in a newsletter. Islam will flourish straight to the White House. And we had a Muslim in the White House January 2009. You see, God gives us insight if we're willing to look for the insight. If you have a real hunger for God, I'm always looking for revelation. I'm always looking for greater depth of understanding. It's not just, well, I want to have it today and not tomorrow. I want to have it every day. The revelation, the understanding, the depth and the breadth. I want to see these things. You look at the modern pastor, evangelist, it's a social gospel. It's socialism, even in the pulpit. It's sad, it is horrific, it is tragic. I don't understand why blood-bought, born-again, spirit-filled Christians don't want to hear the depth of the Word of God that is being preached at the Voice of Evangelism. I don't understand that. I listen, I watch for a few minutes, and I get bored and tired because they don't say anything. Oh, God wants you to have your best. This destiny, that destiny. You're destined to heaven or hell, and you better make sure you're going to go to heaven. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And these mealy-mouthed, two-timing, slithering pastors, preachers, they won't preach anything with conviction. They don't care about men's souls. Money. You don't think money is their God? Why did they take all that money from the government? Why did they take all that money from the government? Because money is their God. They'll tell you, no, it's not my God, but it is your God. And that's why you took it, because the money's more important than the souls of men. Judas sold out Jesus for money. There are those who want the money more than they want the blessings of God. That's why we don't ask for money. We don't preach about it. You should tithe. You should give offerings. But if you don't, that's between you and God. And that's why some of your lives are so messed up. You're not wholly committed to God. You honor God with your mouth. You honor God with your lips. But you don't even tithe. You don't even give an offering to God. And you want God's blessings? You're robbing God of blessing you because you don't support God. And by the way, God doesn't need your check, number 4123. He don't need your Federal Reserve note. But you, my friend, need the blessings of God. You need to give. But you don't. So you've not sown anything. So why should you reap anything? Remember, you reap what you sow. You sow nothing, you reap nothing. You reap what you sow. I don't understand why my life is so messed up. I don't understand why I'm not blessed. Go back, examine your life, see where you're doing right, see where you're doing wrong, and God will help you get on the right path. Let me get back to the teaching. As I said, the word fruits here in Revelation 18, verse 14, It is used here like nowhere else in the entirety of the Bible. Now, the word fruits in the Greek is number 3703. 3703. If you want to take your strong, exhaustive concordance and look at it, that's the number, 3703. And the Greek word is opora, O-P-O-R-A, opora. It means even tide of the summer season, sometimes referred to as dog days. Its fundamental and foundational meaning simply means late in the day or at the close of the day or in the evening. It was in evening tide when the psalmist David fell into his sin of adultery, followed by murder of Uriah. 2 Samuel 11, verse 2. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed, walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. Many theologians, no doubt more than theologians, but Bible scholars, believe that in the evening tide, or at the close of the day, is when wicked supernatural spirits of sin, deprivation, and debasement, along with suffering, prevail throughout the earth to claim their victims and subjects. Now, I want to take a moment to emphasize, at the close of the day, at evening tide, sin, deprivation, debasement, along with suffering. So let me help you here for just a minute. Where there is sin, where there is deprivation, where there is debasement, you can rest assuredly suffering will follow. That supernatural spirit of sin came upon the psalmist. Say what you will, I believe this, I'll believe this till I die. The whole time David stood on the roof of the balcony looking down at Bathsheba as he was bathing, the Holy Ghost was saying, get your eyes off of her, get off of the balcony, get back in your master bedroom, and don't look anymore. But see, that power of lust, the sin of lust, there's not much difference between lust and covetousness. It's a powerful sin. It overcame David. He sent for Bathsheba. She's a married woman. He's a married man. This power of sin and of Satan, they go out through the earth to claim their victims and their subjects. You, if you are not careful, you will become one of Satan's subjects. You will become one of Satan's victims. I'm not talking about playing the victim. We have people who, they're always the victim. They've been victimized. You've probably been victimized many times because you have drifted away from God and you have subjected yourself to things that you know in your heart God was never a part of. Listen, when I was running from God in my teenage years, I had a divine Holy Ghost baptism and experience with God at 12 years of age. But when I got around 16 years of age, I began to do things that I knew was not right. I was in direct opposition against God and His call and His touch upon my life. It was many years before I ever really understood the gravity, the magnitude of God's touch on my life. God's touch on anybody's life is a holy touch. It is a supernatural touch. It is a powerful, anointing, that God chooses you to be a vessel for His service. His service, not your own service, but His service. There's so many out here, they claim they're God's servants. Baloney. God's servants are not going to take money from the government. Now, don't get me wrong. God used King Cyrus to help Israel go back and rebuild the temple. But see, God put that on King Cyrus's heart. I just think it's dangerous anytime you associate yourself monetarily with the government. It's been said, you've heard it, all men have their price. That hurts me. Now, there are some I know, they don't have any spiritual integrity. They'll take money from anybody, anything. They don't care. My point is, Naboth told Ahab, this is my inheritance. It's not for sale. He said, I'll buy it. I'll give you money for it. I'll exchange it. He said, I can't do it. Jesus was bought and sold for 30 pieces of silver. There are people, and that's why Paul said, 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Excuse me. Because of that love for money, Paul said they have erred. That word erred in the Greek, they have been seduced from the faith. They have erred, they have coveted after. Just give us the money. I think Joyce Myers, if I'm not mistaken, she got $9 million, and the loan is forgivable. Which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. If you say God has called you, God has ordained you, and God has anointed you, why don't you trust God to supply your needs? Huh? That's what we do here. During this COVID mess, we took a big hit. We got knocked down. And I said, God, this is your work. This is your hand. This, your hand is on this ministry. This is up to you. And in April and in the month of May, two individual men supernaturally blessed the voice of evangelism. I know one of them. He's a very generous, loving man. Gives all the time. Gives to this ministry. Sends me chocolate-covered cherries and nuts and all that stuff. God picked up the difference. God supplied the need that we didn't miss a lick. And now there are those who said, Pastor, I've been furloughed, I've been laid off. Now they're coming back and they're giving. But see, I didn't look to the government. I went to God. God shall supply all of my need. This is why we're in such grave danger. It will be at evening tide when the Bible prophecy concerning the destruction of Damascus will come to fruition. Why do we know? How do we know? We know because of the Word of God. Watch this. Listen to this. Isaiah chapter 17, verse 14. And behold, at evening tide, trouble. And before the morning, he is not. This is the portion of them that spoil us, and the lot of them that rob us. I believe the Bible gives us much detailed prophecy concerning the destruction of America. I do believe that America represents modern-day Babylon. No other nation or country in the entire world could fit the description found here in our scripture text. Again, concerning Damascus, everything I have researched from the conception of Damascus, it has never, ever in its history ever been utterly and totally destroyed. But here in Isaiah 17:14, behold, at evening time, that tells us at the end of the day, at the close of the summer, dog days, as the shadows are lengthening, as we go into, and I'll share that, I'll give you a Bible for all of this, as we enter into the fall equinox, we witness the shadows of the earth. The shadows are lengthening. They're getting longer. Why? The earth, everything is changing. See, when the sun is just noonday over your head, there's not hardly any shadow at all. But as the sun begins to set, the shadows begin to lengthen. It does so naturally, even more so in the fall of the year. Now, I don't know of anybody that's teaching this or has ever taught this. You're saying, you're kind of pumping up yourself. You're kind of getting proud and pompous. No, I'm not. I'm just trying to get you to understand, if men would dig into the Holy Writ, they would find the deeper things of God. That's why I can tell you the Great Tribulation will begin at the spring of the year at the Temple Mount. You add 42 months to that. That puts you in the fall of the year, fulfilling the Feast of Trumpets and the Feast of Tabernacles. I know that. You see, people said, there have been people during this COVID time, oh, we're in Great Tribulation. Baloney. That time will be like no other time, Jesus said, since the beginning of creation. Is that how it's been for you? No. I sit right now in an air-conditioned office. Our camera is working right now. You're watching this video. The sound system is working. I'll even go home and I'll have dinner. My wife will fix supper. I've never right now in my personal life done without anything. No sacrifice unless I did it on my part, like fasting and giving. But I've never been in a situation where, because of the circumstances of the world, that I was deprived of anything. You know, a lot of people didn't have toilet paper. We believe in being prepared. We didn't worry about any of this. When all this began to happen, I told Stephen one day, we were riding down the road, I said, I've got just total peace. I'm not worried about anything. And today, I'm not worried about anything. No, this is September the 14th. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not perplexed. I've got God. God has given me great, great peace. Great peace. And that peace comes by two means and methods, staying in His Word and walking in the Holy Spirit. Acts 9:31. Walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that a beautiful passage of Scripture? Walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. I've got the fear of God in my heart, and I've got absolute comfort in my heart. I'm not worried about what's taking place. No, I'm not. I'm not worried at all about what is taking place in America. I'm just not worried. God is my refuge. God is my strength. God is going to take care of me. God will take care of you. If you put your trust, you put your faith in Him. I want to encourage everyone listening today. I want to encourage you to spend more time in prayer. I want you to spend more time in prayer. If you'll spend the time in prayer, God will help you. God is so faithful. I said God is so faithful to help His people. He is more faithful than any of us could ever imagine. He's more faithful than any of us could ever imagine. I want you to understand that. In the last several days, actually several weeks, I felt to start praying in these broadcasts starting today. I know Dana Coverstone has mentioned in one of his dreams the necessity of prayer. But before I heard of Dana Coverstone and any of his dreams, I felt led of the Lord to prepare you, to pray and to seek the face of God. And in the closing minutes today, I want to pray, and I'm going to do this every day, every program, I should say. I'll pray every day, but I'm talking about on the programs. I will pray every program until I feel led of the Lord to change the path, the direction. But I want to take a few minutes before we leave the air today and to pray. Heavenly Father, I come humbly to the mighty throne of grace. And I pray today that you would somehow send a Holy Ghost revival into America. I don't know the means, the mode, the method in which you will use. But what I want, Lord, I want to be a part of that. I want to experience this great move of God that you prophesied through the Apostle Peter in Acts 2:17, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. God, I pray for America, and I pray for our President, Donald Trump. You would touch Mr. Trump, his wife Melania, all of his children. God, you will touch his children as well, preserve them and keep them. I know there are those who say, well, the man's been married three times and thus he's filed for bankruptcy. God, you said in your word, you use the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. I don't care who you use, Lord. It's my desire that you use someone to stir this nation in the manner in which it must be stirred. I know Joe Biden is not going to lead America in a spiritual manner, way, or fashion. I know that in my heart. I know that in my spirit. I know he will not be the one to lead us the way we need to be led. Lord, I pray for this upcoming election. Lord, I'm not fearful and I'm not afraid of what may happen. But I see the potential of deprivation and debasement and untold suffering exist in the coming days to nearly destroy America as a nation. I see it. Lord, you've heard everything I've preached and declared. I'm not looking right now for the Antichrist, the mark of the beast, the false prophet, all of these things. I'm looking for civil unrest and the possibility of a third world war. God, help everyone listening to this program to stay rooted and grounded in the Word of God and in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. God, help us to be drenched spiritually, to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, our loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, that we might quench every fiery dart from the wicked hordes and hounds of hell. God, touch us. God, lift up the church, your body, like a mighty army here in this hour. Lift us up, Lord, supernaturally above all of the deprivation, all of the debasement. God, lift us above it, I pray, in the name of Jesus, lift us up. And God, I repent today. I repent of every sin, every evil, vile, wicked thought, anything that's come through my mind, my spirit, oh God, I repent of my sins. Because only sin hinders you from moving in the fluid manner in which you desire to move. God, I'm sorry for the sins. And I'm sorry, Lord, for the sins of America. God, I ask for forgiveness for the egregious sins this nation has committed. The abortions they have done and the murders they have committed in this nation. Scores and scores of millions of babies have been murdered by the hands of men. And they think nothing of murder. They go as far, Lord, as to claim it's health care for a woman when it's death for a baby. An innocent, most innocent, pure soul is a child. Can't even defend itself in any capacity because it's so small and so pure. Doesn't even know how to resist injury or harm when the doctor goes to tear that child from its mother's womb. God, every time they do that, I know your spirit is overwhelmingly grieved. Because no doubt many of these aborted babies would have been missionaries, preachers, pastors, businessmen that would have given to the work of God. You would have blessed their hands to have grown a business, a company, an organization. They would have given so much to the work of God. But the devil took them out before they had a chance to even be born. Father God, I pray today a very special blessing upon the listeners of the Voice of Evangelism. Lord, I pray a supernatural blessing in the lives of those who have faithfully stood with this ministry. I pray something extra for them because they've done extra. They've went out of their way to help. They've had a part in every soul that is saved, in every conversion, everything, Lord, that this ministry has ever done. They have been the extension of my hand to go literally and physically around the world. Thank you, Lord, and bless those, and bless their hands, bless their minds, bless their bodies, bless their husband, bless their wife, bless their marriage, bless their children. God, bless them supernaturally, I pray, in the name of Jesus, your only begotten Son. Supernaturally, bless them, oh God. I pray today that those who have been faithful, they will see supernaturally the blessing of God. They will be given a testimony how the divine hand of God has intervened in their matter, their need, whatever they're facing, and they will be able to testify, the Lord has done great things in my life. We anticipate, we long, we look for those testimonies and miracles, Lord. Those today that are listening who may be diseased in their body, there may be an aberration, an anomaly. There is something that's trying to hinder them. Lord, I pray for divine healing today in the name of Jesus upon your body, the members of your body. I pray for the members of your body that they all might be healed. God, I pray for those who are sad today, that are brokenhearted today, that are bruised and wounded and hurt. I pray for them, Lord, that you would help them. You'd help them, Lord God, that they might be encouraged and strengthened today. I pray this prayer will find a place of residence and lodge within many people's hearts and minds and would edify them, build them up, make them strong and bold as a lion in the coming days. Father, I pray that you will grant your beloved sleep, that the body of Christ will be able to lie down, just like Peter did when he was in prison. He was sound asleep in the prison, according to Acts chapter 12. And when the angel walked into that jail cell, he had to smite Peter to awaken him. He smote him. He smote Peter to awaken him from his sleep. Give your church, give your body that kind of rest and that kind of sleep, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus. Give them that kind of rest. Because you declared in your word in Matthew 11:28, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon ye and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God, give your people, give your church, give them untold rest. In the coming days, I pray thou, Son of David, give them sleep, sweet sleep. You said in Psalms 127, it is vain for you to rise up early, to set up late, and eat the bread of sorrows, for so giveth he his beloved rest. God, give your people the rest that they need. Father God, open the hearts and the minds of your body, your church, the members of your body. Open our minds to the greater, the deeper things of God. God, I pray that somehow there will be an election. It will be fair, it will be just, and our president will be reelected. God, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to grant us our prayer and our petition today in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I thank you for your blessings. I thank you for the power of your word. I thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost. I ask your anointing upon this forthcoming series, that people will be tremendously enlightened to the gravity of the hour, O God, I pray. Help us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Help us to live a life of repentance, that we will repent every day of our sins, so that in the day of judgment, it will be far from the church, the body of Christ. Deal with the wicked, Lord. Do not let the wicked rule over us. Do not let the wicked triumph over us, because if the wicked triumph over us, we will mourn and we will weep. But when the righteous are in authority, the people will rejoice. Thank you for tuning in today. Thank you for all that you do for the ministry. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow. Keep praying and seeking God's counsel and God's face. Amen.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.